Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Welcome. Today we're going to look at Luke chapter 13, verses 22 to 30. This is the Gospel lesson for the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. From the English Standard Version, our text reads, "Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, 'Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?' He said to them, 'Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, "Sir, open the door for us." But he will answer, "I do not know you or where you come from." Then you will say, "We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets." But he will reply, "I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evil doers." There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last." We are all on a pilgrimage, a journey through this life. It is a difficult and rough pilgrimage, requiring patience and endurance. Every person on this earth is on a pilgrimage, whether we be infant or aged, rich or poor, male or female. This pilgrimage extends from here to eternity. But to where are we going? What is our destination? Some look inward, digging into their innermost being to discover the answer inside themselves. Some conclude there is no destination, only the journey matters. Others believe in humanity's journey of societal evolution, and still others think that all of us are being shaped by the divine, whatever it may be, so that we can get into heaven. While this last one is particularly nice to imagine and very tempting, Jesus says in Luke 13 that it's wrong. There are two paths and only two paths, either one or the other, the wide way to hell or the narrow door to heaven. Certainly to think of but our earthly pilgrimage as a destination in itself is along the wide way to hell. You cannot find heaven on earth. To think of our earthly pilgrimage as a group effort where all humanity can work together to get to heaven is also along the wide way to hell. To try to get hell out of the picture and believe that all go to heaven, no matter what, is walking along the oh-so-wide path to hell. And I haven't nearly covered all the strange things that enter people's heads when they try to enter heaven on their own merit. But it's time we heard again a word from Jesus. Strive to enter through the narrow door. Now he's not saying that there is some huge effort you make whereby your merit causes you to enter through the narrow door. He's saying the narrow door is at least open. It stands open, and to walk through it is to do the very opposite that so many sadly do in entering through the wide door, the misleading door, the door which has 1,000 theoretical solutions to how to get to heaven, other than through Jesus Christ. The narrow door is the very opposite. There is one way through it, and the only reason we walk through it is because Jesus carries us through that door, as we are too lame to walk through it. Someone needs to walk through it. It's Jesus. But we need to get through it too. How does that happen? Again, he carries us. You see, the thing to walking through the narrow door, which is salvation, let's make that very plain, which is getting into heaven, is that we don't walk through it ourselves. It will always be too narrow if we try to do it that way. The great temptation, then, when told that we are to enter through the narrow door, is to start thinking how we can do that. But to do that would be to make the mistake of those who enter through the wide door. It is the narrow door for that reason. We don't enter it, not the way we think we do, not on our own. We do not enter the narrow door as someone physically able. We enter as cripples, as those who need to be carried in. It is that different to walking through the wide door, the door which would be obvious for those who can walk, for those who think they have lived a good enough life, that they have given enough to another, that they have believed enough. Whereas the truth is, your life is never good enough for God. You can never give enough to please God. Your belief, when it's not purely and simply in Jesus Christ for your salvation to carry you into heaven, can never be enough. You are lame. That's not being degenerate. That's being honest. God wants you to see yourself as you are so that you can call out to Him for help, so that you can call out to Him to carry you into heaven. If you think you're all that and that you can get to heaven on your own, and you don't ask for Jesus to carry you in, you won't enter through the narrow door. He is the only way for you to enter through that door, and the narrow door is the only way to heaven, no matter how much the world will profess that there is a wider door into which you can access heaven. It is nothing but the deceiving door, the one that has many answers, but they're all wrong, and they're all leading to hell. They're simply going to find that on the other end of the wide door, there isn't heaven, there's hell, because none of those options involve Jesus carrying them through the door. If they did, it would be through the narrow door, because Jesus doesn't go through the wide door. The wide door for Jesus would have been turning stone to bread, worshipping Satan to make his life easier on earth, reigning for all eternity on earth, making life miserable for mankind because he never would have suffered and died for us, dealing with the consequences of death, whereby life would continue to be a living hell for us. That would have been the wide door for Jesus. But no, he did the one thing necessary for us to live forever with him in paradise. By dying on the cross and suffering for us, Jesus created the narrow door. And if we believe in him and let him carry us through that door, which simply takes faith, trust that he fulfills his promises, we will be saved. For in faith we are saved. One of the greatest ironies about this whole wide door, narrow door thing is that those who go to the wide door will only find out that it is shut. The gate is closed to heaven for those people who are trying to get through a wide door. But for those who are trying to get through a narrow door, the door is wide open. It's a narrow door, but it's wide open forever. It's forever open because Jesus has accomplished what needed to be done for that door to exist. This is why Jesus is even called the door at one point in the Gospel according to John. Without Jesus, there is no door to heaven. It won't even matter if you knew Jesus, did good deeds in his name, loved your neighbor as yourself, if you never knew that he is the door. That despite all those good things, you are still lame in the sight of God the Father in terms of your sins, and judgment over you is still looming, if not for the fact that Jesus can simply carry you through that door for the sake of the cross and the suffering he endured for you on it. Unless you understand that, no matter the good you've done, you won't really have anything in common with Jesus. He says so in our text. So to have something in common with Jesus isn't to do things that Jesus would do for your neighbor. You know, what would Jesus do? Because we certainly know he did wonder after wonder for his neighbor, for you and me. But to have something in common with Jesus, to know Jesus, is to know that he is your Savior, that you are the saved. That is the only measure by which at his door he will say, "Yes, I know you." And our relationship won't be keeping to our own personal bubbles where he says, "Come on in," and then we walk through in our own accord. He'll come out to you and carry you in, just like he did everyone else who has gone in through the narrow door, because you are lame. Every sin we have ever committed renders us completely and utterly helpless to walk through that narrow door. It is Jesus alone who must bring us through it. You're listening to Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Allman. We'll take a break now, and when we come back, we'll continue with what it is to go through the narrow door. That to go through the door is to also see that Jesus is the door. Both have been said by Jesus, but how many of us rightly put these two together? They just sort of blur together because there isn't more than one concept here. to go through the narrow door is to know that Jesus alone is your salvation. That is what Jesus was saying when he said, "I am the door." Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. I am Pastor Gordon Naumann, and this is Faith That Functions.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the Spread the Word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.
Let's find out why people go to Bible studies.
They really help me to understand what the passage is all about.
To understand all that the passages mean.
Being with other people and discussing various verses.
Because it gives me a chance to get deeper into God's Word and to think out what I really believe.
Pastor, why are Bible studies important?
Bible study is so important because we go to God's Word because He speaks to us through it.
Through the study of the Bible, God provides comfort and guidance for life. Go to Lutheran.co.uk to find the Lutheran church that is closest to you and join your local Lutheran Bible study group.
Bible study, great food, great fellowship, and you even get to learn a little bit about God.
Lutheran Radio News, an acute reading of what makes the news in the eyes of a Lutheran journalist.
Hi, this is Paul Hill. Join me every Friday on Lutheran Radio UK to find out what happens in and around the Lutheran Church.
Go to lutheranradio.co.uk for times and podcasts.
This is Lutheran Radio UK, all about Christ and to all God's people.
Before the break, we were talking about striving to enter through the narrow door, but also how this verb is actually a little deceptive. What we need to do is fight off any and every inherent notion that tells us that we get through the door to heaven via our works. That's why it's hard. We're going against our sinful instincts. If we did go with our instincts, we'd be headed toward the deceptively wide door to heaven. Deceptively, because it is no door to heaven at all. If you, the listener, have any questions or comments, send in an email to us at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Back to the message. No matter how much we stand before the door to heaven, shocked, desperate, anguished, and enraged, thinking such things as, "We ate and drank with you, how could you possibly not recognize us? We came to church, we gave to the poor, we did many mighty works in your name. I gave all my savings away to pay for the church roof." It's because if these are the words that are coming out of your mouth, you are only thinking about what you have done. But to get through the real door to heaven, it's about what Jesus has done. Such words do not come out of your mouth as if to say that such works have saved you. Rather, words like, "I'm sorry," and "I am not worthy," and "save me by the merit of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for my sin on the cross," realizing that before God you are nothing but lame, are what save you. It's this wisdom given alone by God which produces trust in Jesus for salvation, which is the gracious act of your being brought through that narrow door by Jesus. So you see, to go through that narrow door is to do nothing in and of yourself. This is what Jesus is saying. See, all those people going through the wide door, they're trying to do something for me to get into heaven. And there's an infinite amount of ways which you can try to do something. That's why it's called a wide door. It's about your actions. There is no better way to symbolize that than a wide door, your actions. But there's only one way that you can try to not do something. That's by doing nothing, the narrow door, but letting one person do something for you, carry your lame body into heaven. This is made abundantly clear as in Jesus' response to those who did good things for Jesus. He says, "Depart from me, all you workers of evil." How can that make any sense if he is really looking at our works? It doesn't. Therefore, we must look at another reason as to why Jesus is rejecting these people who have come to the door with these good works. It is the fundamental reason of true faith for salvation, which Martin Luther redeemed in the 16th century. What Jesus is really saying when he says, "Depart from me, you evil doers," is you have no real faith as to who I am and what I have done for you, i.e. given you salvation by dying for you on the cross. For if you believed that, you would not be counting your works before me now as so valuable. Rather, therefore, even your good works are as dirty rags before me. They are not a result of trust in me for salvation. Those who are turned away from the gates of heaven are not those who have done evil. They are the ones who do not believe in Jesus, and so everything they have ever done, even that which is to be considered good works in the name of Jesus, are evil if they have no faith. Those who do get to go into heaven also have nothing to bring before God. Their works are as equally evil. But instead of pointing these evil works out to those who are saved, Christ enters them into heaven because they have faith, trust in Jesus as their Savior to forgive them of their sin, because they see that they are evil, that they are lame, that their works, which they did do in the name of Jesus, are still not worthy enough to be brought up at the gate of heaven. So it's not that those who get to go to heaven didn't do good works, but that before the gate of heaven, even their works are as dirty rags. But they know this, and Christ accounts this wisdom to them as righteousness. They didn't come to the door of heaven with their deeds. They came to the door of heaven with the deeds of Jesus, who then acknowledges that he indeed knows them and carries them in. So for me, as your pastor, to call you lame as children of God is not to say you're not going to heaven. I'm giving you the one point of reality which tells you you are certainly going to heaven, because Christ Jesus will certainly carry you there in your confession to him that he is Lord and Savior and wills only to take to heaven the lame. It is only the lame that get to go to heaven. We are all lame. What Christ does is draw us all to him. He who is the narrow door, he has come to the church today to teach among us, preach his saving word, and call out to you. He does not wish to slam the door in your face, but wants each one of us to enter into the feast he has prepared for each and every one of us. This is the call of the gospel, the universal call to all humanity for all time. This is God's call to you. Behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. Jesus, the only begotten Son of the Father, who was first, has become the last. And you who are sinners, who were last, have become first. This is the point of Christ's pilgrimage on earth. This is why Jesus of Nazareth was traveling onward to Jerusalem, to his death on a shameful cross, to his glory. He wasn't giving us some riddle about people who have been converted early or late in life still getting to go to heaven, even though they didn't do much on this earth. It is but a sinful notion we have that sometimes it feels unfair that some should be saved and others not. Jesus was talking about how he was divine and lived in eternal bliss with the Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit before he came to earth and sacrificed more than we could ever bear on that cross for us. He was the epitome of being first in all of existence, but chose to become the least of all, become last, by dying on the cross, whereby the last, i.e. you and me, would become first of all in the eyes of God. We would be saved. Those who have ears, let them hear. There aren't people who cut the line to go to heaven in terms of one believer over another. It's quite simply all of mankind that get to go to heaven because of who he was and who he is now, the fact that he was first and became last for us. Now, because of what he has done, God is forever gracious to you and me. He speaks his sacred word of absolution, "I forgive you all your sins," As you partake of the Lord's Supper, you have a foretaste of the eternal feast of heaven, the forgiveness of your sins, the very body and blood of the sacrificial Lamb of God. God uses these means of grace to keep you on the path to the narrow door, to guarantee your salvation. And while you don't always know where you're going, Jesus knew where he was going. He knew his destination, his destiny. He set his face resolutely toward Jerusalem, to the cross of Calvary. And as Jesus spread wide his arms on that tree of death, the narrow door to heaven was thrown wide open. The prophecy of him being the door became a reality. You need not look inward to find out where you're going. You need not be deceived by your own flesh, the world, or the devil, as they do continue to point you toward the wide door. Rather, you need only look to where Jesus was and is. Your destination is the same as his. It is the cross, first received at your baptism, and thereafter you continue to daily drown your old Adam as a repentant sinner, clinging to Christ for forgiveness, because you are so lame. He promises to carry you through that narrow door and gives you a seat at his heavenly table. Your pilgrimage ends here. Amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. The podcast of this program, as well as previous episodes, are available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Allman. I serve a lovely congregation in Cardiff, Wales, and you can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. Thank you for listening. If you want to hear more, then tune in next week as we again delve into the richness of God's Word in the next episode of Faith That Functions, where we will again find out what the text meant for the audience of its time, who Jesus was speaking to, and what it means for us today. Let us discover together again the wisdom of Scripture. God bless you, and I look forward to speaking to you soon on Lutheran Radio UK.